order to make her voice heard, she told the electronic Antifada. At the time of posting, Wisha was a physician with Phoenix Children's Hospital, a position she had held for 2 years. During her time there, Wisha enjoyed a wide degree of community respect. A family member of a patient at Phoenix Children's who asked to remain anonymous said, "To see everything Wisha has done in life, everything she has done for the community beyond her cause alone, that's exactly what we need in a physician." Yet, unlike many others who were able to post and then go on with their lives, Wisha found herself swiftly targeted by Twitter account devoted to smearing and harassing outspoken Palestinians and their allies. Online anti-Palestinian accounts disguise a relentless and vicious campaign to intimidate people into silence by falsely portraying them as racist and sanction them by proxy by pressuring employers for swift termination. As Stephen Salatia notes in a timely and informative essay on the topic of Zionist defamation campaigns, such manufactured outrage can be very effective because it appeals to the worst sensibilities of corporate professionalism that prioritizes conformity and compliance over need to challenge injustice. In 2014, Salatia was himself fired by the University of Illinois at Urbana campaign for tweets criticizing the Zionist regime's bombardment of the Gaza Strip that year. In Wisha's case, Phoenix Children's replied to StopAntisemitism.org on June 23rd to say that, after a thorough review, Wisha was no longer providing care at Phoenix Children's. "What happened to me was shocking. The hospital didn't reach out to me, didn't ask any questions. I think their decision was under pressure," Wisha said. David Chami, an attorney for Wisha who has filed a complaint over her termination through the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, said he is certain that she will be vindicated. "I'm confident that the evidence will show that Phoenix Children's Hospital terminated Dr. Wisha's employment because she is a Palestinian-American woman who dared to question the Israeli regime." Wisha has never been accused of discriminating against a patient in all of her years as a physician, Chami added. And while Phoenix Children sees fit to flaunt its supposedly anti-racist bona fides by firing a Palestinian woman from Gaza without any semblance of due process, the hospital's actual commitment to anti-racism has been questioned for quite some time. Amy Megillo, an organizer with Neighborhood Organized Crisis Assistance and the Grassroots Law Project, told the Electronic Intifada that they had been canvassing for signatures to protest racialized preferential treatment, but the hospital was unmoved. "A concerned employee of PCH reached out to me and another activist in June 2020 asking if we can help amplify the fact that there was preferential treatment for white patients and no executive representation on the boards at PCH. As we spoke to community members, so many BIPOC parents expressed concern and bad past experiences that they all signed a letter, which PCH ignored. Phoenix Children never responded to the letter or to any of the messages we sent online." The petition echoed widespread concern in the community about the hospital's handling of racism. The anonymous family member told the electronic Intifada, "As a parent, I want to know how a hospital is handling these issues. How can I be sure you are taking care of kids if you're not addressing racism? They seem to feel like they have no accountability to the community." Some also expressed concern that Phoenix Children's inattention to structural racism is tied to conflicting affiliations. For example, Robert DeLago is former chairman and is still on the board of directors at Phoenix Children's and also CEO of Hensley Beverage Company. On June 3, 2020, the company issued a belated statement about activism following George Floyd's murder that, while denouncing discrimination, seemed designed to express concern with protests turning to violence. The Facebook activity of George F. Goetz, chairman of board at Phoenix Children, suggests pro-Trump sentiments, not exactly conforming for those seeking commitment to anti-racist praxis when Trump has repeatedly called for police and military violence to be deployed against activists denouncing white supremacy. For instance, on August 29, 2020, Goetz shared an Instagram video from Oregonians for America, which essentially argued that there is a widespread conspiracy against the re-election of Donald Trump because he opposed globalism. From April 2018 to January 2020, Goetz also donated amounts ranging from $1,000 to $5,000 to individual right-wing political candidates such as U.S. Senators Lindsey Graham and Martha McSally and the PAC Winred. When Phoenix Children's did finally address community concerns about structural racism, it was in the form of a tepid and non-committal communique from President and CEO Robert Mayer saying that attention to racism is reflected in the contention that all people deserve equal access to medical care, as well as the hospital's hiring of top quality pediatric leaders. Meglio told the Electronic Intifada that it's no surprise, based on the all-white C-suit and the complete disregard of black, brown, and indigenous parents' calls for representation and support in 2020, that any individual who spoke in favor of black or brown lives would be retaliated against and terminated. And what happened to Wisha is about racism. In 1987, Helen Saman used the term political racism to refer how a default pro-Israeli regime stance within institutions allows for a structural racism against Palestinians, Arab Americans, and people of color to occur without thought. Those challenging Zionism and disposition of Palestinians, Saman argued, can be fired, harassed, targeted, and generally excluded from public arena in various ways that completely violate their rights without a thought, because the protection of Zionism and the larger imperialist status quo that supports the U.S. special relationship with the Israeli regime is far more important than the rights and dignity of Palestinians and their allies. Due to political racism, marginalized peoples can be fired without question. The dehumanization of Palestinians and those in support of the Palestinian cause is so pervasive and necessary to keeping the U.S. support for the Israeli regime intact that this shockingly discriminatory treatment is not even acknowledged as racism within the mainstream.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Miraculousness of the Holy Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. The Holy Quran is a miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we know that the prophets who came before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they displayed different miracles in their time and age as well. So you look at Prophet Jesus, right? You look at Prophet Moses. You look at Prophet Abraham. You look at Prophet Ismail, right? All of them, they showed some sort of miracles that convinced the people around them about their prophethood. Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes it gets asked, what is his biggest miracle? While he showed many miracles and he possessed all those strengths given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that were given to other prophets by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while he had all that, we say that the biggest miracle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Holy Quran, the book of guidance, the book that is evergreen, the book that is fresh, the book that guides humanity and is going to continue to guide humanity, right? Now, this Quran was revealed on the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An aspect of the miraculousness of the Quran which has had a great effect is the revolutionary transformation it brought about in human civilization. A matter calling for serious attention in the study of Islam is the fact that it received no assistance from factors external to itself when it began to create the nucleus of a universal society out of a scattered and disunited people that lacked all science and free thought and did not even seek to unify its constituent tribes. And when it began, moreover, to found a uniquely vast and spiritual civilization, that is the miracle of Quran. Welcome back to your listeners. Today we are discussing a miraculous book, and that is the Holy Quran, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was revealed on the heart of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our lifestyle has to come from the Holy Quran. Our lifestyle has to be in line with Holy Quran. We should not do anything in our lives which contradicts the commandments of Quran. All the factors for changing the world, for putting forward an international law, with the slogan of unity among races, peoples, and social classes, for creating a movement of a liberation of thought and ennobling of knowledge were derived from the very text of the Holy Quran, from the culture that emerged from the Quran and from the Islamic order. Islam never relied on a government or a power situated outside the society it had itself brought into being. Even the aggressors, and this is something very unique about Quran and Islam, even the aggressors, for example, take the Mongols, who attacked the Islamic lands and triumphed over the Muslims, thanks to their military superiority, lost their dominance in the end when they were confronted with the spiritual power of Islam, and they adopted the religion of the people they had conquered. This history of nations does not record any other example of a victorious aggressor adopting the religion of people it had defeated. So this is something huge and something for us to keep in mind. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, thank you very much for staying with us till the end of today's episode of A to Z. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We leave you all in the care of Allah. Till next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is what the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says about hastiness and rashness. One who rushes madly after inordinate desire runs the risk of encountering destruction and death.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com www.islamic.com/en.
The light.
Egypt's forgotten art of Fatik is undergoing a revival thanks to a designer who has been working hard to bring the ancient cloth decorating technique to life. Working tirelessly in a small workshop in Old Cairo, Samer Hassanyan has enhanced the art of Fatik over the years. Samer is one of the few designers in Egypt to use the traditional method to design on fabrics. The art consists of patterns created by applying melted wax onto cloth before dipping it in dye or painting over it with a brush. The fabric is put into boiling water in order to melt the wax. The ancient Egyptians used the batik fabric mostly to wrap the coffins and mummies. However, the difficulty of mastering the art caused its disappearance.
Batik has disappeared in Egypt because no one shared their skill. As a teacher, I find that it is very important to provide as much training as I can because people realize how difficult it is when they start learning the techniques.
Samer has now a skillful artist in her workshop who designed colorful fabric using the technique. Samer says her goal is to produce unique designs that are particularly identified as to Egyptian and represent the country's rich cultural heritage.
You can find tin boxes in every house, with people often throwing them away after consuming what they had inside. But an old lady in Belgium has turned it into an obsession for years to fill her home with these fascinating containers. 83-year-old Madame Dardenne has gathered around 60,000 vintage tin boxes in a span of 30 years. The empty containers of all sizes now occupy four other houses. They once used to hold all kinds of goods, ranging from coffee, biscuits, tobacco, tea and soap to shoe polish, are now piled high all over the building that belongs to Dardenne. Some of these boxes, according to her, come from as far as India and Japan. Dardenne says it all started with a chocolate box that was given to her with a painting of a blonde girl in a blue hat.
I consider this box to be the first of my collection. It is a box of Belgian Côte d'Or chocolates that a relative of my husband gave me, believing that I was interested in boxes.
She sees the boxes as history books with decorations and writings on them describing major events and reflecting contemporary culture. The collection is the largest in the world, listed by the Guinness Book of Records. Located in eastern Belgium, the museum can be visited by appointment. Humans have damaged the environment perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Juan Carlos Rodriguez and his wife run a sloth rescue center in the lush outskirts of the Venezuelan capital, Caracas. They have so far saved over 45 sloths. The couple decided to start helping the furry mammals last year after running into a sloth that had been badly injured. They saved him and called him Chewy, after a character in the popular Star Wars franchise. Juan and his wife are now alone in their life-saving journey are not alone in their life-saving journey, as their vet friends also help them with services and donations. The coronavirus pandemic has disrupted lives all around the world, but it's important to try to stay fit for humans and animals alike. Penguins in an open zoo in Thailand have been keeping their daily routines, although no visitors are allowed due to COVID-19 restrictions. They are regularly taken out of their air-conditioned enclosure so they can enjoy a walk or swim. The 41 flightless birds consume nearly 25 kilograms of fresh fish each day. The cute animals at the zoo are aged from 1 month to 18 years old.
South Korean medical workers manning drive-through coronavirus testing centers have a new way to cool off and rest amid hot summer days, recovery buses. The medical workers are now able to enjoy their breaks at these buses, which are equipped with air conditioning, cold water, and snacks. The workers are allowed to take off their protective suits that trap heat and create an environment difficult to tolerate. Some of the buses also have shower booths and bunk beds to help the medical workers deal with their hard work. They say the buses are refreshing.
I almost feel like I'm stuck in a heat dome, like in a car with the air conditioner off in the middle of summer. It's so hot that it's even hard to breathe. But when I come here during the break time and rest in a much cooler and more pleasant environment like an igloo, I can recharge and work cheerfully in the afternoon.
These buses were first designed and used as resting places for Korean police officers and firefighters. Now, 22 of them are deployed to testing centers across the country. The government is considering deploying more recovery buses amid rising temperature and a new wave of coronavirus infections.
An aquarium in the French capital, Paris, is celebrating the birth of a baby black-tip shark. The female shark is 55 centimeters long and weighs 560 grams. She's currently quarantined in a small pond so she wouldn't come under attack by adult sharks. Officials at the aquarium say she'll be ready to swim amongst other sharks in 3 to 4 months. She was born last week at the aquarium, an event the caretakers say is very rare.
It's a rare event for us, which hadn't happened here for the past 5 years. The birth is quite rare in aquariums and in captivity in general. In fact, there are often embryos that won't survive, or they're sometimes stillborn. That's what makes it a rare event, which also occurs at night. We had the chance to observe it during the day, which allowed us to intervene very quickly, and we're able to recover the little one.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature has designated black-tipped sharks as a vulnerable species. It's particularly poached in some countries for their distinctive fins. The marvelous creatures have a torpedo-shaped body and often spin out of water while eating. They have specialized cells in their snouts that detect the electric current of nearby prey.
A Turkish farmer hails the miraculous survival of two baby goats from deadly wildfires. Sergen Bayat said seeing his livestock threatened by flames was the most difficult moment in his life. Bayat said although he lost 8 of his animals in the fire, he found new life after the survival of a newborn goat. He said the mother of the kid had been killed in a wildfire. Bayat called it a miracle. But there was also another baby goat.
We found another goat amidst the wildfire. She has a baby. There you go. Miracle number 2.
Bayat says although his farm was severely damaged, he's now over the moon at the survival of the baby goats. A massive forest fire in southern Turkey broke out on Wednesday, fueled by strong winds. Wildfires are common in southern Turkey in the summer, but local authorities say The latest fires have covered a much bigger area.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment they are purring for your attention, and the next they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabby and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabby hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabby's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not, based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this, how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful, but Tabby is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. And of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses, with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors. Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution, and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in the country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. Cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Salamun alaikum. May Allah's peace be upon all of you. You are listening today's special from IRIB English Radio. Due to the proximity of the month of Muharram, we want to look at the way of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin
Today, Sunday, is the 28th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As the previous episode of today's special, now we have a short commentary of some parts of Ziyarat Ashura.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور
Peace be upon you, O Abu Abdullah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Messenger of Allah. Peace be upon you, O son of the Commander of the Faithful, and the son of the Leader of the Inheritors of the Prophet. Peace be upon you, O son of Fatima, the leader of the women of the entire universe. Peace be upon you, O the one who was killed, and whose blood was not yet been avenged, and whose avenging is in the hands of Allah. And peace be upon you, the son of the one who was killed and whose blood has not yet been avenged. And peace be upon you, O the one who was alone, an individual.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn. It is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
O father of Abdullah, the words Abu Abdullah literally mean the father of the obedient slave of Allah. Honorify their fellow brothers by calling them with a technonym or kunya, a name that mostly mentions the first or one of the offsprings of the named one. Hence, if a person had a son named Abdullah, he is called Abu Abdullah, which means father of Abdullah. One of the reasons behind the Imam alayhi salam being called Abu Abdullah is that he had an offspring called Abdullah, famously known as Ar-Radhi, one who is still breastfeeding. He was mercilessly martyred by the enemies of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein, Hussein al-Gharib al-Gharib al-Hussein, Hussein al-Shahid al-Shahid al-Hussein.
On this series of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we look at the path of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Addressing Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi and his troops, who had been dispatched in intercept the Imam's caravan on the way and to stop him from entering Kufa, Imam Hussein alayhi salam quotes this tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, which states the duty of Muslims vis-a-vis corrupt and un-Islamic rulers. O people, verily the Messenger of Allah said, whoever observes a sovereign legalizing what God has made unlawful, violating the covenant of Allah, opposing the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and treating the creature of God sinfully and oppressively, and does not oppose him with his speech and action, Allah has a right to bring him to the same fate as that of the tyrant.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the path of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We find that those people for whom the Holy Quran and Quranic notions and Quranic advice would hardly prove effective, those people, as indicated in religious advice of Muslim ulama, those people should turn to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and should try to benefit from listening to the calamities imposed on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Now we find that when the crescent of the month Muharram appears, in fact, the month of mourning and the month of remembering the calamities and oppressions inflicted on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam has appeared. For example, in the city of Karbala, we find that with the emergence or with the advent of the crescent of the Muharram, the red banner, the red flag over the dome of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is changed to black. And in a Muslim heritage, color black signifies and implies grief and being associated, in one way or another, with commemorating the afflictions inflicted on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Why did Imam al-Husayn rise up? Imam al-Husayn's fight had two dimensions and can have two different fallouts. Nonetheless, both outcomes are good. One result was that Imam al-Husayn could defeat Yazid's government and take power away from those who oppressed the people and devastated the fate of the people, so he could arrange things in an appropriate way. If this had happened, the route of history would have revolved. Another dimension was that Imam Husayn alayhi salam could not, for whatever reason, achieve political and military victory. Then he would not by words, rather by blood, by resisting oppression, by a language that history will never forget, make his narrative flow like a perpetual and non-interruptible stream in history. This is what Imam al-Husayn did.
يا حسين 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 يا حسين حسين حسين.
Lessons of Muharram. One lesson from the lessons from Karbala: patience in adversity. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran that only those who remain patient will receive reward without measure. Imam Hussein, a living example of what the Quran thought was happy to remain patient in hardship and endurance and to await his Lord's reward. His patience wasn't out of weakness or helplessness, but it was a demonstration of his steadfastness and bravery. Those who saw the Imam on the day of Ashura reported, "We have never seen a man remaining as composed as Imam al-Hussein," whereas his relatives and children were slaughtered before his eyes.
The human body has been given, Allah has given us the ability to heal. Anytime you have an injury, pain, whatever, then we heal after that. Crying, it enhances and increases the body's ability to heal. And that's why studies mention that the individuals that cry more often usually enjoy better health than those that cry less. And also, it's not just crying that helps, but even some certain studies indicate that even those individuals that had a good image, a good perception, a good outlook towards crying, they enjoy better health than those that see crying as something shameful, for example, or they have a negative outlook towards crying. So just having a positive outlook and attitude towards crying can help our health. So you find that physically there are many benefits to crying. Psychologically, emotionally, of course, we all know it makes us feel better. Anytime when we have a tragedy, when I have a problem and we cry, this makes us feel a lot better. And that's why the famous poem of Shakespeare says, "To weep is to make less the depth of sorrow." And this is common sense. So psychologically, emotionally, and physically, crying is a good thing. And when we come to religion, spiritually, crying is also good. And that's why I want you, brothers and sisters, to pay attention so that we can understand this new outlook towards crying. Because like I mentioned, many people, they have a negative outlook towards crying. They look down upon it, especially the men. They consider crying as for women, for children, not for us. If I want to be tough and strong, I should never cry. And that's why you find, like I mentioned, women cry much more than men.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.